more help for the jobless.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. People whose unemployment benefits have run out will get extra help under a plan signed into law by President Obama last night. The $18 billion jobless benefits bill extends unemployment benefits for thousands of people. It also restores Medicare payments to doctors. Flights are still grounded in Europe this morning as the cloud of volcanic ash from Iceland continues to cloud the skies. Here to talk about this with us is Stephen Beard in London. He joins us live. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Stacey.
Stephen, this is day two of the ash cloud. How does the situation compare to yesterday?
It's getting worse. Eight North European countries, including the UK, have kept their airspace closed today. And there have been more partial closures elsewhere in Europe, including countries like France and Germany. Usually there'd be about 28,000 flights a day in European airspace. Today it's expected to be less than half that number.
How is this affecting transatlantic travel?
Well, we're seeing the same sort of effect there. Of the 300 flights from the US that would normally arrive in Europe in a morning, less than half have made it today, about 120.
How much longer is this expected to last?
Well, it all depends on the weather. The giant plume of ash is being blown from Iceland by an unusual wind heading in a southeasterly direction. Here's Derek Ryle of the British Meteorological Office.
The wind is coming almost directly from Iceland. It's coming across from Iceland towards the south and east. And over the next few days, that wind is consistently in that sort of direction. So if the plume carries on, the plume will carry on in this sort of direction.
Impossible to say at this stage how much all this is going to cost the airline industry, Stacey. It will clearly run to millions of dollars. Whether it runs into tens of millions of dollars depends very much on how much longer this curious phenomenon lasts.
Stephen Beard in London. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Stacey.
The markets are looking cloudy, too, this morning. European markets are down. London's FTSE is off about a tenth of a percent. Inflation worries hammered Asian markets. Tokyo's Nikkei index lost a percent and a half. Stuyvesant Town is a housing complex in New York. Its owners took some heat for kicking out tenants so they could jack up rents. Turns out one of the big investors was the largest public pension fund in the country. Now the California Public Employees Retirement System is changing how it invests in real estate. Jill Barshay reports.
CalPERS is expected to adopt a new policy Monday to stop investing in real estate deals that convert apartments with controlled rents to much higher market rates. CalPERS decided to make the change after the bad press it got when tenants lost their homes in New York and elsewhere. Even worse, the deals went bust, and CalPERS lost $700 million of taxpayer money. David Wood is the director of the Initiative for Responsible Investment at Harvard University. He says CalPERS carries a lot of weight with the banks that partner with them.
They can require the projects in which they're the equity investors to, you know, use these principles. And so the lenders are likely to follow on.
CalPERS' new policy could also be meant to preempt tougher regulation. The California legislature holds hearings Wednesday on a bill that would make it illegal for public pensions to engage in predatory investment practices. In New York, I'm Jill Barshay for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard. Vanguarding is an investment philosophy designed to help individuals reach their financial goals. Vanguard.com. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture and creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. More at producemoreconservemore.com.
Taxes are behind us this Friday. Well, hopefully. And we've heard a lot in the last year about where that money is going. Here to talk taxes with us is Robert Reich, professor of public policy at Berkeley. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Stacey.
So, Robert, many of us really had to struggle to pay our taxes this year. With huge budget deficits looming, will we be paying even more in the future?
A good chance, Stacey. Even if Washington finds further ways to slow the growth of Medicare and trim Social Security, additional taxes may be needed down the line.
Who is going to pick up the tab for that?
Ah, the big question. Well, in the first instance, people with incomes above $250,000 a year. The just-passed health care bill increases Medicare payroll taxes on these high earners, and the president wants to allow the Bush-era tax cuts to expire for them.
What happens if those revenues aren't enough?
Well, there's a lot of buzz in Washington these days about something called a value-added tax, or VAT.
VATs are popular in Europe, is that right?
That's right.
So how exactly do VATs work?
A VAT is like a sales tax, but it would be put on every stage of production. So, for example, steel producers would be taxed on the steel they contribute to making a car. This means a lot of the VAT would be hidden from public view. When you bought the car, you wouldn't know how much of the sticker price reflected all the taxes paid along the way. Now, some politicians like the VAT for exactly this reason. And it can be increased without drawing too much attention to itself. But because it's essentially a tax on consumption, it's also quite regressive. A rich person is likely to pay a smaller VAT as a percentage of his total income than someone of more modest means.
Are there any other tax ideas being batted around Washington right now?
Some want to broaden the tax base by, for example, limiting the value of top earners' itemized deductions. And closing loopholes, like the one that allows hedge and equity fund managers to treat their income as capital gains, taxed at just 15%. That'd be pretty nice. But these are politically tricky. They've been proposed before, and Congress has not wanted to bite the hand that feeds it big political donations.
Robert Reich was the Secretary of Labor under Clinton and is a professor of public policy at Berkeley. Robert, thank you.
Thanks, Stacey.
And finally, if you're an artist in Mexico and you're in the red, you actually can paint it black. Mexican artists are allowed to pay their taxes with paintings, photos, and sculptures. The artwork does have to be approved by a 10-member jury. The program's been part of the tax code since the 70s, and it worked pretty well. Mexico's Ministry of Finance now owns more than 4,000 paintings from artists like Diego Rivera. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.